Hello, listeners, and welcome to Elisha's Eerie History.
Elisha's Eerie History.
Today, I have special guest star, as I say every time, and friend of the pod. Today we have my twin sister, Brittany.
Yep. Hi, Elisha.
There's going to be applause in the background. Brittany, tell us a little bit about you. I know you've been listening to the pod. You love it. You give me feedback every time.
Yes.
You liked the Bunny Man Bridge. That was your favorite episode so far, right?
Yes. Yes. No, I think that will make a great D&D monster. Bunny Man Bridge Man.
Okay. Yeah, Brittany's big into D&D. What else should they know about you? You're a cool cat.
I'm your twin.
You're my twin. We're celebrating our birthday today. It was last week, but we're celebrating today because I was busy last week.
Yeah, time constraints. It's fine. We busy people.
Yeah, so Mom and Brittany wanted to be on the pod, but I told Mom that Brittany gets priority because it's her birthday this week.
Mm-hmm. Although Mom will probably be more fun when she's on here.
Well, don't say that. You don't know. Well, it's not about being fun, although it is about being fun. Mostly, we're trying to be educational.
Educational. Okay.
So, I think I want you to say insightful things. We're going to talk about a topic in Lynchburg. So, if you know anything geographically or you've been there or anything.
Well, we grew up here, so yeah. Grew up in Lynchburg. So, I sure hope I know some of the geographics area in Lynchburg.
If you know anything, add to it. Try to be insightful. But honestly, there's no pressure. We have 30-minute episodes, and I usually talk about history for like 36 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So, Brittany, I have a boilerplate today. Do you know what that is?
A boilerplate?
Mm-hmm. A boilerplate, it's like the opening that's supposed to spark curiosity.
I knew what boilerplate was in like machinery.
Yeah. Have you ever been lost in a large crowd? Ever been in an audience and suddenly you're so close to someone, you're suffocated by their armpit smell? People often feel social anxiety and overwhelmed amidst large crowds. Is this perhaps your brain giving you a warning sign? Chicago nightclubs, sports games, and even Astroworld have fallen victim to crowd surges and stampedes. These events are terrifying and can often lead to a loss of life. Today, we will be discussing the stampede of Court Street Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. Eerie music. So, have you heard of the stampede of Court Street Baptist Church?
And not until you told me.
Okay, yeah, I told Brittany a little bit earlier. Because Brittany was being nosy and wanted to know about the topic before we recorded. But
I am curious. I always bug you about your next topic on the podcast.
True, true. And I think this is a good topic for you because you're someone who don't do large crowds per se. So
I mean, considering I've gotten lost twice in DC and that's basically a large city crowd.
Yeah. So I think this is a good episode. You could probably relate to, you know, the feelings of anxiety in large crowds. I know I'm a person who's always in large crowds and I still get anxious in them. Today we're talking about the stampede of Court Street Baptist Church. But first, you know what we always do? We do the Google reviews.
Google reviews. Okay.
Okay. We have 4.9 out of 5 stars on the Court Street Baptist Church. The first star is Jesse Westcost. She gave it 5 stars, and she said, or is Jesse a dude?
Could go either way with how it's spelled.
Okay, so
let's just call them a they.
A they. They said, great historic church, a real beauty. Penny Burford says, this church helps a lot of people with their food pantry. She also gave them 5 out of 5 stars. So congrats to this church, Court Street Baptist Church. Y'all do a great job. Whoa.
Yeah.
The building I showed you is the new Court Street building.
Okay.
Okay. The building this story is about is the previous Court Street Baptist Church building that the reason there's a new one, is the reason this story happened. The church was actually in deplorable condition. The time this event happened, the stampede, was in 1878. And to give context for our not super history buffs, the Emancipation Proclamation happened in 1863. Reconstruction ended in the South in 1876. So this is actually 2 years after Reconstruction that the Stampede of Lynchburg happens.
Okay.
Okay. So on October 16th, 1878, over 2,000 people stood in what is now called the Old Court Street Baptist Church. This was for the event and the wedding of Jack Averett and Mary Rives. There's another news article that claims it was a different family getting married, but most of the news articles say Jack Averett and Mary Rives, so we're gonna go that they got married. But potentially, there were two weddings
this day. I mean, with 2,000 people, there might have been two weddings. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, so...
Wedding too, damn. They must have been popular.
According to the New York Herald, an eyewitness said the marriage ceremony had been completed and the bridal party had just retired, followed by at least one half of the congregation. Otherwise, the loss of life would be much greater than it was. The wedding had ended and religious service had commenced. A prayer had been offered when the sound of breaking glass and a cry from the gallery came that said, "The church is falling!" A man at this point jumps from the gallery on the heads of those in the audience. And for those who don't know, I'm assuming the gallery is the balcony.
I'm assuming that too, if he jumped.
A man then yells, "Make your escape, the front is falling." And then a large exit of people fled, for they thought the building was falling. Now, there are two editorializations of this story. One story is that what we just heard was that a kid or man, they think it was a kid, mm-hmm. broke some glass and then screamed the building was falling and made everyone panic. The other story goes that plaster on the building fell mm-hmm. while the congregation was singing and rejoicing, and it scared the shit out of people, and they started rushing out. When this happened, people freaked out, and they started rushing to the exits. Once people got to the exits of the church, some of them turned around and fought against the surge of people to find their children or friends that didn't exit with them. This event is an example of a crowd surge or stampede. That's why it talks about Astroworld and nightclubs in the beginning. Mm-hmm. The paper then says that people jumped from the second and third stories of the church and could not escape. A lot of people blame the crash of glass on two boys who were playing around and pegging them responsible for this event. This event and the crowd surge mm-hmm. leads to the deaths of multiple women and children. The author of one of the primary articles I read insinuates that men crowded over the women and crawled over the women and weren't very, like...
gentlemen say women, children first type deal.
Yeah. And then this was backed up by Frank Leslie's illustrated newspaper, however, comma. Mm-hmm. The news articles were written by white people, from what I could tell. So I think this is a case of trying to make the black population seem inferior and like they're not respectful or, you know, just in general, not good vibes. So I don't know that that happened, but that was the report. Those in the front of the crowd that were crushed underneath all the people rushing out say that they had the weight of people squeezed them until they thought they would die. And some people did die. Mm-hmm. So after all of this crowd rushing, 9 people were killed and 20 to 30 were wounded. Those that were killed include Maria Wilson, Maria Ransom, Millie Ward, Mary Henry, Virginia Robinson, Emma Brown, Arena Cox, and then 2 unidentified bodies. Another report claimed that 14 people were trampled to death. The reason for this discrepancy of numbers is probably due to the fact that 9 people died on scene. Many sustained injuries that later in the week and coming months led to their death. So imagine mm-hmm. you're part of a crowd stampede mm-hmm. and you get you survive it, but you're very injured, and then you die weeks, days, or months later due to a crowd injury at church after a wedding.
Yeah, that ain't a very happy wedding, Amor.
A man named Pashal Horton died of his wounds. He was the only man to die, and he died on 2 a.m. October 8th, 2 days after the event. After this case of crowd surging, the fire department comes upon the scene. Alarms were sounded by people who had houses neighboring the church, and everyone came.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, nosy Southern people. Everyone's coming out of their house being like, what the hell is going on?
What's going on? Are you okay?
Yeah. This obviously put a huge damper on the night. It was really hard on the community, you know, get past this, because I wrote down the hearts and the minds of the Black population. This was a telltale sign of the lack of safe accommodation and the struggle of being able to worship safely. Persecution by lack of safety. We just experienced Reconstruction, but it wasn't Reconstruction of the South for everybody.
Yeah.
It was Reconstruction of the South for white people.
Mm-hmm. Two boys were blamed. I can only imagine what those boys were thinking as they were blamed, because no one knows who started it, which is the worst part.
Yeah. Well, it's like some people think plaster fell, that glass was broken, it was blamed on other people. There are eyewitnesses that say plaster fell. Mm-hmm. So I like to believe the plaster fell.
Because
multiple articles said that, and I'd like to believe that. I would more like to think glass broke on the rush and exit out, and that was just blamed on the boys. And I don't think it ever lists the boys' names, but I don't know. That also seems like a case to be of, like, racism, of just trying to
find blame on someone.
Yeah.
Put blame on someone.
Ooh, you might have just heard the dog in the background. I'm glad you're on the same page about that as I am. So we're going to get into the history of Court Street Baptist Church and what it means for Lynchburg. But the disclaimer is, we're talking about the modern Court Street Baptist Church, but this story is about the old Court Street Baptist Church. But nonetheless, the congregation and the community around this church is still, it's the same community. This church migrated from that old building to the new building, and here they are today.
Okay.
So, history of the church. Court Street Baptist Church stands as a testament of the Black Christian community of Lynchburg. And that was a quote. The building that resides there has entertained the likes of many Black evangelicals, including Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Caesar L. Scott, and of the Baptist General Convention of Virginia, and Reverend N.S. Walker, where over 1,000 marched for civil rights in Lynchburg, Virginia. Founded in 1843, originally named the African Baptist Church, this is one of the premier Black churches in Lynchburg, Virginia. In fact, some of the first Black children to be integrated into white schools in Lynchburg attended this church. The building today is one of the tallest objects in Lynchburg, becoming a iconic part of this medium-sized city's skyline. Standing over 16 feet tall, the belfry of this church demonstrates the impact it has had on the culture of Lynchburg. And I still think it's a pretty influential church / community in the area.
Yeah, it has a nice little point like a castle, for those who don't know what a belfry is.
The building, the new building, that is, was built by, well, the architectural plans were by an ex-Confederate soldier. Can you believe that? And his name was R.C. Burkholder. The Court Street Baptist Church that currently exists was purchased after the old building was condemned. It was written down in 1879 that the previous building was condemned a few months after the incident. On Wednesday, March 5th, 1879, the Old Virginia announced that the Court Street Baptist Church, at which the calamity occurred last fall, is being pulled down. The material will be used in a new church building, corner of Court and 6th Street. The land was purchased by a private citizen who bought the land for the church and then donated it to the church. Originally, the white population of Lynchburg, when the church was condemned, was trying to, like, completely stop the congregation from buying property downtown for the church. This congregation overcame, purchased it privately, and was able to have their church downtown. Otherwise, they were trying to have the Black population commute to the other side of town, essentially, to go to church. After the lot was purchased, the cornerstone was laid, and in reporting that occasion, the Virginia informed its readers that this, we understand, is to be the handsome structure, and one of the largest in the state by Mr. R.C. Burkholder is the architect, to be finished by October 1st. While the congregation selected ex-Confederate soldier Burkholder to design their church, they had no need to go outside of their membership to find builders and contractors. Perhaps the historian has overstated the case in assertion that in 1879, all construction of homes and public buildings was done by Negro contractors, carpenters, brick and stone masons. But at least there are plenty to do this one job. So the church had no issue finding people to work on it. Mm-hmm. They had a huge following. They had one of the most influential congregations in Lynchburg, from what we can tell.
That's not an easy feat for a church in this, in Lynchburg.
John Wilson, a member of the congregation, assumed the responsibility of the head contractor while other workers worked beneath him. They did not finish on the October 1st, 1879 deadline that the Virginia had given. However, the building was completed and dedicated in July 1880. Prior to its completion, the new church was described in the press as one of the finest religious structures in the South. I love that phrase. When I read that, I could just hear the person being like, one of the finest religious structures in the South.
Yeah, added a bit more twang to that.
Another account described the exterior of the single paragraph as, externally, the building is symmetrical and imposing. The foundation walls are of solid stone, 60 by 101 feet. The walls of the superstructure are of brick. The front face has been made at the Richmond kilns. The granite steps to the main entrance will come from the quarry, also at Richmond. The spire, which is by far the tallest in the city, is surmounted by a copper ball 9.5 feet in circumference and weighs 34 pounds. It's impressive. The Court Street Baptist Church is on the National Register of Historical Places as of June of 1982. That is the history of the current building. I wanted to provide all that context to give respect to, you know, our Black community here in Lynchburg, and to provide a impact on our listeners of the significance of this congregation and this church on the community.
I'm really questioning how they constructed it because of, like, how tall it was and the belfry and everything, but there are legit ways to construct things without modern machinery. I know that. I'm just curious on, like, those specifics, because that always seems impressive.
I mean, this is right after Reconstruction. Enslaved people built most of our structures around here. Mm-hmm. It is no surprise that they had the skills to build their own place of worship. Mm-hmm. And it's no surprise either that they did it with such zeal and to make the tallest structure in Lynchburg.
Yeah. Considering the time, yeah, making the tallest structure in Lynchburg, considering the time, that's hard to do.
You know, it wasn't a good thing what happened. Unfortunately, you know, people had to die and the building had to be condemned for the Black population of Lynchburg to get a church that was safe. Mm-hmm. But it is a cool story because now the tallest building in Lynchburg.
Good things can come out of tragedies is what we've learned.
I have the funeral records. The people that died at Stampede, one of the adults that died, Maria Wilson, it cost about $30 to get them fully buried in 1878. Okay, so Brittany, You're someone who doesn't like crowds. Have you ever been stampeded in a crowd? I mean, not to this extent, but have you ever been in a rushed situation in a crowd?
Does game count when you're playing with, like, a bunch of people? And it's like 20 people of a game you're playing, and then they're all like, we gotta go this way.
In the game?
Yeah, and they kind of just sweep you up in it. Does that count?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say it counts, personally. Okay, I have never been rushed in a crowd to this extent. However, I have been in a crowd when there is, like, an emergency exit situation, and I lost my flip-flops in it. Like, it was like everyone was rushing to one side, and I lost both of my shoes. Let's get into what causes a stampede. So stampedes can occur for various reasons. Some of the most common hazards include overcapacity, poor crowd control, poorly planned event spaces with no clear exit, narrow spaces, or bulky or dangerous structures. In this case of the Lynchburg Stampede, it was probably a case of overcapacity, poor crowd control, and I don't know if it was poorly planned exits or what, but...
Probably the bad structure since that building was condemned.
Yeah, clearly the population that was in this church did not have the safest structure and was not given safe accommodation. Do you know why someone dies in a stampede? What would be your guess? Why would you think someone died in a stampede?
Well, they're getting trampled, so probably blunt force trauma.
Blunt force trauma.
Is one. And then if you aren't able to, if you keep getting ran over, at some point you're not going to be able to breathe if you're just getting stepped on.
Okay, yeah. So you're exactly right. Compressive asphyxia is the most common reason for death during a stampede. So what happens is people get trampled to the ground during the stampede. Compressive asphyxia is a condition that happens when breathing is prevented by external pressures on the body. During a stampede, people who are stuck in the crowd crush against one another, and this means there is no room to move. This limits the diaphragm, a major muscle responsible for respiration, from contracting and flattening, which means air cannot enter or leave the lungs. So you're right. Suffocation, essentially, is what happens. Compressive asphyxia is dangerous, but does not always result in death. With timely intervention through to first aid, such as CPR, people suffering from compressive asphyxia can be saved. Yeah, so you're right. And the reason this happens more commonly to women in a crowd is because women have more happening at top. And so when they get crushed...
What?
It's true. Part of the research said it. Women have... more happening at the top, so when they get crushed, they're like... We're blaming boobs, guys. Boobs are the reason women get compressive asphyxia in a crowd. Secondarily, if you're a child or a small woman...
You're just tiny.
Yeah, and there's 6 feet men running around, you're more likely to, you know, get pulled to the ground or fall over. Now, we're going to go into tips for staying safe in a large crowd, so this does not happen to you or any of our listeners. So the first step is check the weather forecast. If it starts to rain, crowds tend to surge and start to panic, seeking shelter. Dress appropriately and be ready for when it happens. So in the case when I was on the beach, I did check the weather, but we just went to the beach for the concert anyways. And then I lost my flip-flops, which would not be considered a good thing, because had someone stepped on my flip-flops and I fell, I could have been crushed. Another way to stay safe in large crowds is do not go alone. Attend the event with a friend or partner and look out for each other. Buddy system. Third, wear bright colored clothes. This helps to stand out in a crowd and make it easier for others to identify you during an emergency, which this doesn't really make sense for the event of a church, but let's say you're at a concert or a festival. You and your bestie might want to wear the bright colors. That way, if you get separated, you can help identify them and pick them up off the ground if they're lying there. Make a mental note of all exits like you would on an airplane. Should an emergency arise, you may not be able to get to the nearest exit. Plan your route to the next exit and leave the venue as soon as possible. And then lastly, hold railings for support. If available, hold on to railings when going upstairs or escalators. That is how to survive a stampede. May it never happen to you, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, that's the end of our story and our safety briefing. You have the whole story. What's your take? What's your feelings? Do you have anything resonating with you about this story?
I think this story does give introverts a more reason to stay away from crowds, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, dang, no one want to be caught in a crowd surge.
Yeah. So, 1 to 10 E's, 1 being not very scary, 10 being really scary. How scary is the stampede of Lynchburg?
I would say about a 2. Because,
a 2?
Yeah, because stampedes are scary in that moment, but it's not like the Bunny Man, which has a chainsaw that's going to chase you through the forest at nighttime type deal. It's literally something that can happen
anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, and most people aren't going to dwell on that because that means you aren't ever leaving the house.
I'd say I give, like, crowd surging probably, like, 8 E's, but I'm not going to tell our listeners to be scared and not leave their house. That's just a risk you got to take when you go into a crowd, so I say live your life.
It's going to be scary in the moment, but, like, just...
remain calm.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do. Exit safely.
Yeah. Always know your exits. That's just good in any situation in life. Just knowing where the exit is so you can walk out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I had. Not a super long episode. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening to Elisha's Eerie History.
Elisha's Eerie History.
Hey, you're still here. Thank you so much for staying to the end of the episode and going on a history journey with me. It means a lot to me. If you haven't yet, please like, subscribe, rate, and review. Let me know what you like, what you didn't like, what you hated, why you're obsessed, all those things. If you give me a 5-star review, I would love to give you a free sticker and thank you for your support. My email is about to pop up on the video screen, but if you're not watching, go to ElishaRypkema, my first and last name, ElishaRypkema@gmail.com. That's ElishaRypkema@gmail.com. If you haven't yet, please check out our YouTube channel at ElishaRypkema. Also, if you want to keep in touch with what's going on behind the scenes, where we're headed to next, please visit at Elisha's Eerie History on Instagram. And if you haven't yet and you really, really want to see more, go to ElishaRypkema.com. That's going to be my website. There you'll find the transcripts for every episode, what's going on with me. Some cool stuff is in there. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you stay tuned, I'm going to give you the sources for the episode you just listened to. Our sources are Wikipedia. Obviously.
A classic source.
Classic. I did the Court Street Baptist Church website. They have a lot of history on their church, which is fabulous.
Even about this event?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The New York Herald, the Frank Leslie's Illustrated Newspaper, the Alexandria Gazette, the Critograph, which is a Lynchburg College newspaper, had something I referenced. And then the last place I got some resources from were a place called Appetite for History. And then the last place I got things from was the DIUGUID. Dugweed? Digweed? Dugweed? Dugweed?
Dweeg?
Dweeg? Anyways, that was a funeral home. And they were involved in this story. Their records are readily available online. The Lynchburg Old City Cemetery has their records available.